Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, all you crazy ghost enthusiasts out there? It's your boy Ghost Joe. Welcome to episode 13 of the Warped Reality Podcast. Lucky number 13. So I have a great show for you guys today. I'm not going to be doing too much talking. I have a great interview that I did with a guy named George that I had met on a Clubhouse audio app about his experiences with extraterrestrials. It's a very different account than our friend Steve Neal had or has. It's kind of the opposite, really, when you think about it. And it's quite terrifying. So just keep an open mind, sit back and relax, because who are we to judge? And who are we to say who's right, who's wrong? They could both be right. They could both be wrong. We don't know, you know? What we do know is that it's going to be an entertaining show. And I hope I got all your questions that you would have wanted to ask George out there. And yeah, guys, So before we get into George's interview, I wanted to talk to you guys about something that I heard about on a Udemy course that I'm taking. If you don't know what Udemy is, it's an awesome site where you could take courses. They're not accredited or anything like that, but you can learn a lot from these courses. And a lot of times, at least once a month, they run sales where, courses about anything you could think of. And once a month, they have sales where it's like $10 for these courses. And some of them are very long and very, very interesting. So have you guys ever heard of Jeff the Talking Mongoose? Well, you're in for a treat with this one. The story of Jeff started in September of 1931. The Irving family, comprised of James, Margaret, and their 13-year-old daughter, Voiry, started hearing scratching, rustling, and vocal noises in their house's wall panels. The house is located in Hamlet of Dalby on the Isle of Man in England. Eventually, the creature in the walls began to vocalize animals and then started to speak English. He then informed the family that his name is Jeff, spelled with a G, and he is a mongoose born in India in 1852, but that he is actually an earthbound spirit trapped inside the mongoose's body. He supposedly guarded their house, warning the family of visitors, ridding the house of rodents, and even turned off their stove when they forgot to turn it off. The family would feed him biscuits, chocolate, and bananas, and he was only seen by the family and a selected few a couple times. This story was huge in its time, being printed in the newspaper. Some claim to have heard his voice also. In 1945, though, Margaret and Voiry left the home due to James's passing. Oddly, no one ever heard Jeff talk again after James passed away. I guess he was devastated about James dying. The new owner that purchased the house after the family had left claimed to have shot and killed Jeff, but the mongoose that he showed did not match the small yellowish fur, bushy-tailed Jeff that we all know and love. The daughter Voiry maintained her story up until her death in 2005. So what do you guys think, man? Do you think that there was a talking mongoose? This one's hard to believe, really. Especially the fact that all of a sudden the talking mongoose stopped talking after the father had passed away. So, that's pretty interesting to me. But a fun story nonetheless. What do you guys think? Give me a call, 845-379-1331. Let me know. Or you could email me, ghostjoeny@gmail.com. And now let's do some I Read It on Reddit. I can't say for sure what happened to me that night, but here is what I know. I was driving home for the weekend from school at Indiana University. It takes me about 2 hours to get home, and I left Bloomington around 10 p.m., At exactly 10:53, I am on a rural stretch of the two-lane highway I take home, and I noticed what appeared to be flashing lights behind me. I thought, great, I'm getting pulled over. So I turned onto the next country road about a quarter of a mile from where I noticed the lights. As the car came to a stop and I started to open my glove box to get out my registration and proof of insurance, the lights suddenly disappeared and no car drove past. Now here is where the story takes a turn for the weird, and I am sure you guys will think I'm just making it all up, because it really does seem like something straight out of a typical UFO movie or story. The electronics in my car started to go haywire. The radio was randomly changing stations, while the volume kept going up and down, while the dome light and headlights start to flicker and turn off and back on. This was at 10:56 p.m. I start thinking to myself that my battery must be failing, or else I have a short somewhere in the electrical system of my car. So I lean down to pop the hood so I can take a look at the battery, and that is the last thing I remember doing. The next thing I know, I open my eyes and see nothing but the night sky full of bright stars. It was a cold night, and it seemed like I had never seen stars that bright in my life. I sat up and looked around, and I saw absolutely nothing, nothing at all. I was in the middle of a field surrounded by corn stalks left over from the recent harvest. As I started to come to my senses, I started to freak out. Where am I? Why the F am I asleep in the middle of a field? Where the F is my car? I got up and started walking towards the distant headlights I could see from a road about half a mile away. When I got to the nearest intersection, I looked at the signs, which read 350 North and 50 West. I was half a mile from my car, which was just right off the main road. I started walking towards the headlights I could see on the main road. I can't say how long it took me to walk the half mile, but it couldn't have been more than 10 to 15 minutes. When I arrived at my car, all the lights were out. My battery had died, which struck me as odd because I couldn't have been gone for that long. I looked at my phone, which was sitting on the passenger seat, and the time was 2:17 a.m. Over 3 hours had passed since I turned off onto the side road for the flashing lights behind me. I remember sitting in my car, completely dumbfounded, wondering what the hell had just happened to me. After about half an hour of just sitting there, I remembered that my battery was dead, so I got on the phone and called AAA to come out and give me a jump. It took about an hour for them to get out to me since I was a good distance away from the nearest town, during which time I just sat in silence, running through the possible scenarios in my head concerning what had happened in that day. To this day, I couldn't tell you what really happened to me that night. All I know is that I can't think of any plausible explanation as to why I woke up over half a mile away from my car in the middle of a cornfield more than 3 hours after I had stopped. I have only shared this story with one other person, my uncle. I am sure people would either look at me like I'm crazy, or they would call BS on the whole story. And I can't blame them. If somebody came to me with a story like that, that so closely mirrors the stereotypical encounter story, I probably wouldn't believe them either. So what do you guys think? It pretty much is like the typical story, but at the same time, that might be how these things happen, you know? It's pretty crazy, man. That's a crazy story, but you guys have heard nothing yet. So here's my interview with my new pal, George. You are going to love this. Please keep an open mind. We are not here to judge. If anything, if you don't believe it, hey, it was a very entertaining story regardless, right? So check it out. And if you have any questions for George that you would like me to ask, you could call that number that I said before, 845-379-1331, and ask them over a voicemail. Or if you have any abduction stories, paranormal, UFO stories, or anything like that, give me a call, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. So without further ado, guys, here is my awesome interview with George from Clubhouse app.
Yeah. So, hey, yeah, what's going on? It's good to hear from you for Yeah, I know you had it's actually, it's funny because I've never actually had anybody in the show just to tell their experience like this, you know, like I've had people on the podcast that were like authors and, you know, I guess people on TikTok and all that stuff. But, you know, and I've had, normally what I'll do is I'll have people call in and leave a voicemail, you know, of their experience. And then that's what I play. But, you know, figured try this out, try something different, you know? So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really appreciate you reaching out and we being able to discuss this and, you know, publicly, open any discussion about it with anyone. But so I've gotten familiar with the actual UFO, UAP phenomenon, whatever you'd like to call it, as far as the supernatural, for a few years now. Like, I kind of just saw it through as a kid. And, I lived in a sort of suburban rural area, so we saw tons of stuff like this growing up, but we never really talked about it out in the eastern coast of, North Carolina. And, as an adult, I found out that the East Coast is actually a hotspot for UFOs and things of the supernatural in that way. So, you know, growing up, it was a normal life. But as I was in my early 20s, one of the reasons why I got into this subject a lot was because, I was sitting down in my parents' garage, and I felt this eerie sensation like something was looking at me. And so I took my cell phone out and I took a picture of the area that I was pointing at where I felt this sensation coming from. And it was almost like something was your body could sense where it was coming from. So I took a picture and something told me to run back to the house, and I ran to the house, and next thing you know, I was looking through the picture. I used different filters, and there was something sitting down on one of our chairs, out like in the outside the driveway by a tree. And so you could see like eyes beaming at me, and my dog kind of had his head up because he sensed it, but he couldn't see anything. And it was good for me to run back in the house because after that, you know, I started seeing different things at the house. Like my sister started reporting to my mom that there was like a tall or a gray figure in the house, going through the rooms. And one time when I was a kid, which I could relate to, I didn't think about it as much, but there was a tall gray figure staring at me and my sister while I was working out in the backyard. I was just doing some cardio, and then I felt the same sensation, like something was staring at me. And I looked through the other side of this fence that we have in the area, and there was this tall, gray, skinny figure just staring at me. And I told my sister to go get my dad. And my little sister ran and got my dad, and he took out the dog. And as soon as the dog got out, he went straight for it. Like the dog knew what area it was coming from. And when we go to investigate, you know, after we maneuvered to the area where this humanoid, where this gray entity was, the dog was barking up a tree, but it wasn't a tree where you could climb on or easily maneuver. It was one of those trees that had, you know, it was really thick. It didn't have quite the amount of branches necessary for anyone to actually climb it. And so, you know, we kind of got involved. We were trying to figure out what was going on. And so my sisters kind of just knew that there was stuff going on in our property growing up. And I guess my mom and dad knew some stuff too, but they didn't really tell us to think about it as much. And so that I kind of left the interest after I moved my parents out of my parents' house in my early 20s. I'm in my mid 20s now, but, the reason why I got, you know, familiar and got in touch with a lot of people was because when I moved out and got into an apartment, I started getting terrorized by these entities. They started coming in my room in a form of sleep paralysis. It felt like something was holding my body stiff, and I could see these figures in my room. Like it wasn't any sort of it almost felt like a sort of hypnosis, but I literally saw these figures in my room. And I had a thing about leaving the back door open, where it was a back slide door, Like, it was just one of those glass sliding doors that you usually find in houses or apartments. And I left it open that night. And yeah, during that cycle, while I was living there, I had one of these guys, one of these grays in my home. And I told him, and the only thing that I could think of was like, what are you doing here? Like, what's going on? Like, get out. And I didn't really have the energy to get up. And so I kind of, and then they said something to me, but I just kind of drifted back to sleep. And when I woke up, I started having these things actually communicate with me.
Was it like,
and
like telepathically
throughout the day,
or like,
and well, that's what I thought at first, but it turns out that they do this a lot to people where they communicate with them through some sort of hypnosis or some sort of meditation. But it's actually because these people are being programmed to do these things because they have a super, apparently they started telling me all this information about how they do it. And, but just because they told me information doesn't mean that they're not hostile. I found out later that they're really hostile. They're using computers and their ships and saucers to actually program and get inside people's heads, like, and kind of just brain scan and absorb as much information about what we do, but also utilize that for themselves, like to apparently host as a, to use us as hosts for their new body scheme that they were coming up with. Like, they were trying to live inside the human brain in our own conscience, like in almost like a synchronized, it's like their ships would synchronize to a human body, and then their bodies would just remain stiff and asleep. And once they were synchronized to select human, they would try tampering with them through the mind, but they couldn't move our bodies or reflexes. But that's what they were studying. Thus is why they were abducting people. They were trying to figure out our anatomy. And so they said that they were targeting, they told me that they were targeting like our pons, like these parts in the brain that lead to our nervous system and in the back of our brain in our cerebral cortex, which controls the hearing and the taste. And so they told me that that's how they were able to acquire a lot of information from us, like even from music to conversation to even taste, like food. Like, for instance, if we were having one of our edible resources, like for anything from pizza to meats, like, and we ate it and one of these things happened to be latched onto you, they were putting all this information in a computer, and then they would use it for themselves and say, oh, so that's how it tastes like. But they got really addicted to it. And so that's why they try to keep it as secret, because they felt like people wouldn't understand these methods. But then the messed up part about it is they kind of were doing this. That's what they're doing here. It's like, that's what these species are doing here in secret. But they started getting into the fact that they want to live our lives as well as like human lives, like including our sex lives. Like, they wanted to know how it felt to have sex with a human using a human body as a host. See,
that's crazy too, man, because, you know, a guy on my show a few episodes ago named Steve Neal, very, very smart guy. He's been having abductions and stuff like that ever since he was 5-6 years old. And the way he describes it is honestly the complete opposite. Like, he describes it as they give him a feeling of hope. Like, they, like the one, it's like always the same specific being that communicates with him. And he said that he doesn't know if it really is a female or not, but it portrays itself or gives off like the right to try and, you know, I guess comfort you, you know. But he's had abductions where he's seen actual people, you know, like real people. Like, he'll wake up on like a spaceship with like white, you know, it's all white around him, and real people are there too. So, you know, and he's been like accosted by the government, you know, years ago. This was years ago, like before it was, you know, before it was so well known, I guess, you know. And they said to him, like, listen, if you don't stop poking around and talking about it, then something's going to happen to you and your family. So he stopped for like 20 years talking about it up until recently, because now it's kind of out there, you know. So it's more mainstream, I guess you could say. But yeah, that's crazy, man, because that's like the things that horror movies are made out of, like sci-fi movies are made out of. That's nuts.
Well, it's all fair to opinion on what other people would sense out of this. But I mean, when you think about the initiative of intelligence, you know, you got to understand that if you go poking around at someone in someone's house, you know, to our laws and understanding, that's intruding, you know? So you should understand, like, these things know that they're intruding. Why are they doing it in the middle of the night when someone is humbly asleep, or when people are unaware? Why are they doing this to kids? Because they try to start these programs and these new body experiments, like trying to live inside a human body when they're young. Like, they pick them when they're small, man, because they're innocent and they don't know what's going on. And thus they try to hatch the idea on how they can get these kids to do this for a while. And then they move on to another target and then another target. And sometimes they'll move back to that same target, and it's hostile. And they've been using a lot of manipulation to comfort you, to make you feel like, oh, they know what they're doing. But they're only doing this for the idea that they wish that they had the ability to live in a new body. And when they saw human bodies, they said that they were beautiful, they had good food. Like, this is a civilization that it's all these things out here are from the same civilization, man. These gray entities, what they tell me is that they're hybrids. They're like cybernetic hybrids, literally made to travel into space, like these cybernetic astronauts. And everything else is just like, sometimes they'll ship out some criminals just to see how their reaction would be if they kind of just had them let out with a spaceship and kind of just study them, their own criminals. And what they told me is that they don't have a lot of resources. Like, a lot of them don't even have enough food. And they don't even find themselves attractive anymore ever since they started studying our behavior and our technological advancements. Like, they kind of just got envious of what we're doing. And so, you know, when you look at what's going on now, I'm pretty sure the government's catching up to that, you know, simply because they've also had a lot of debate in the public awareness that they were looking for some sort of human hybrid. I don't know if you've ever heard of that idea. In any books or any media debating the gray idea or any sort of alien idea, how they try to abduct people and kind of do these experimentations for you know, trying to see if they could, you know, somehow make a hybrid out of our DNA. And a lot of these experimentations are with the fact and idea that they really, really want to synchronize with human society. But it's all very hostile because they aggressively want to approach this idea because it's like they want it now. You know, it's like they need it now. They feel like they don't have the patience to just wait until we understand certain things. They kind of just want it now. So thus they do it in secret. And yeah, it's just been, and so I've, you know, whenever they give me these conversations and talk to me about this stuff, about what my opinion, what they would ask me for my opinion about it. And I'd say, you know, you guys got to leave me alone. I got other responsibilities, you know, I got a lot to do. This is all interesting, but it's scary. And yeah, they were telling me how, like, they aggressively wanted me to use my body to have sex, like, with other people. And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so it came to the point where, you know, I took a couple of doctor's visits. I went to mental hospital institutes to check it out. Then I went to hospitals to get x-rays done and all kinds of things done. I haven't gotten any MRIs yet, but yeah, they would always come out with, you seem healthy, you seem all right. We're going to give you some medication anyway to see if it helps you, like, relax, you know? So I got a couple, you know, I had to take a couple medications, but they wouldn't work. Like, they would still debate and say, we're sorry for wasting your time. We're sorry about this, but now you know too much. And then they started threatening me and they started saying cruel things about my family. And I was like, this is disturbing. You know, you guys, what you're doing here is not for the benefit of our society. Like, you need to leave. You need to get out. As simple as that's what I told them. And they became more hostile. They said that they wanted me silent. And I told them, look, whatever you tell me, I'm writing it all down. And I have a picture of one of these entities when they approached, when they were in my dad's property. And I think that's one of the reasons why they kind of were messing around with me was because they noticed that I had taken a picture of one of them. And for years, you know, I've had this debate about what I should be doing about this. And I said, you know what, I got to make this public. And so I kept tons of research of what the conversations were to what they were showing me. Because some of the stuff they were showing me was really, really odd and really, really messed up. Like they were kind of just debating how, you know, how they really wanted to live in our society because they were kind of giving up on their own. And how they kind of were extremely envious of us because we happened to be more innocent and we thrived in different ideas and religion. We had tons of more freedom than they did. They have their lives synchronized to computers. And so like it got to the point where some of these species of what they have in their own planet were starting to adapt the idea of even living on someone else's body. And thus it became more like a criminal action against one another, but they still did it to humanity. Like one guy trying to live your life. So this guy happens to try to sync in your brain or synchronize in your brain to experience what you experience. And you just go with your life, but then they can't control what your motives are, their moves are. So they became anxious and bothered by the fact that they couldn't control what we did. They could only see, taste, and hear, and sometimes even feel. And so it's a very disturbing idea, but they did it. They did it.
What state is all this experiences you said?
North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
North Carolina. I'm located in the middle of North Carolina, in the Greensboro, North Carolina. It's near Raleigh and Charlotte. And yeah, we have a lot of stuff like out here in NC where they say they see lights like by the Eastern Seaboard to the Brown Mountains. You know, we have like the Brown Mountain lights and all that stuff out here.
But now you had said that, you know, they're very hostile and stuff, and they would ask you like, oh, can we do this? Can we do that or whatever? Can't they just do it? Or like they kind of still need like your permission or your cooperation to.
Dude, hell no, dude. They did it anyway. That's why I got bothered by them. I was like, because they still tampered with me. Like they would follow me to my job. Like they'd communicate and talk to me while I was at work. And I'm pretty much an assistant manager in the restaurant field. Okay. And so I would have to tell, I told my parents about it. I told some of my coworkers, I told my friends, a lot of my family knows about it. I would post it up on Facebook, like, you know, about some of the things that they like, some of the ways they would attack me. And dude, I had a run to the, I did an experiment where I said, you know, you guys gotta leave me alone for once. And I experimented going on to traveling to Tennessee and trying to see if the caverns or the caves would help. And sensing that they had a lot of minerals that would block satellite signals. And they would just stay there. And I remember spending a night in the cave, Worley's Cave, you know, because I was always an endurance person too. And they still tampered with me. And so I said, you know, I would hear screeches like from them getting bothered by me trying. Like they would screech, like they have hidden motives. Like they have tons of hidden motives. Like these things are not peaceful. They're not enlightened. And they told me tons of information, like how they said that parallel dimensions don't exist. Like it was all an idea of things from parallel dimensions. Like it's all an idea fabricated by the mind. Like, we live in the same space. It's just that these happen to be an older civilization that kind of figured out methods on how to surveillance and keep an eye on us because they are also fearful of our capabilities and our potential.
Hmm. Wow. And when was like the last experience that you've had with them? Recent? Like it's like
today. Today, as a matter of fact, they were trying to act nice. Like they were telling me, they were calling my name and saying like, we're really sorry. Like, you know, we're really sorry. We understand that some of our things we did were really ungenuine and it was just barbaric. And they were just, and it sounded like they were just kind of angry at one another. But I could still tell like that's because they had little to no idea of how to like, stop the situation that I was actually trying to exploit all this to the public. Like that they have very selfish intentions and in how to harvest the human brain into their characteristics to infuse all that we have into their society. Like they're trying to listen to all our music. They're trying to they're using kids to watch TikTok videos right now, man. Like they're literally getting inside kids and they're telling me how they were just watching the videos that kids were watching, like pornography, and they liked it. And I was like, this is disgusting. I was like, you're getting inside kids for this? And they were like, yeah, it's just that we liked it a lot, George. I'm sorry. We like it so much. And I'm like, this is disgusting. And I told them, leave these kids alone. Leave these people alone. And they were like, you know too much, George. Just kill yourself. They were telling me to kill myself. I was like, absolutely not. And so, you know, I try to raise awareness about these things now. And if you notice, I mean, ever since the... it's just my hypothesis, but ever since the thing with that they kind of released on June from the U.S. government, you know, some of our classified documents or reported sightings from like the Navy and Air Force, we've been raising a lot of questionable actions, like as far as our hypersonic and laser technologies in space. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure the government has been studying the subject themselves and keeping it private. And kind of acknowledge that, yeah, these guys are hostile.
Well, you know, it's funny too, because like I've never been, you know, before I did the podcast, I started this podcast back actually about a year ago. And before the podcast, I've always been interested in the whole UFO alien thing, but I never really looked into it. I never really got into it too much or read up on it and everything. You know, this podcast is kind of what's gotten me into, you know, trying to research it a little bit more. I mean, this is honestly the first time I've heard of them being so hostile and doing all this crazy stuff, man. That's frightening.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, that's why we can't, it's almost like a taboo. Like why we haven't been able to discuss this a lot further is simply because we didn't know the true intentions. And every time they do this to somebody, they're saying, oh, no, we got you covered. Like, we're here to help. We're here to kind of put you into an enlightened path. But in the reality, in the background, they're secretly trying to get inside a human body and use their brains to synchronize their bodies and their minds with what we're doing. Like, a guy could be living his day and he has constant migraines. And he's actually being in this motive that these guys are trying to get inside their body. Like it's almost a spiritual attack, but it's a mental thing. It's a mind thing. It's all in the brain. And
have you ever met anybody that has had the same experiences as you?
No, but I've heard a couple stories while in Clubhouse. If you're familiar with the app, I'm sure you are. I think that's how we met. They started saying like how some people were actually going through circumstances that were even worse, like how this guy he went through like an abduction and he didn't know what to do about it. You know, he had a secluded life with his wife, and it got to the point where they were, after they did what they did with him, they said, "Now bring your wife out so we can see her. Bring your wife in the wood. Tell your wife to go out to the woods so that we can see her." And I was like, "This is frightening." Yeah. And this is what they're doing. And you know, they try to silence people that know about this stuff. Like they've told me that they would attack, they would give me heart attacks. And I'm 28, you know, I'm 28 now. And, you know, and this has been going on for about 5 years. And, you know, I live a very professional life. And this is just one of those things that's like, I got to make all this collected data into the public awareness and see how we can in the future maybe defend ourselves against any of these hostile things in our airspace. Because unfortunately they're not sending stuff out here just to sightsee. They're sending stuff out here so that they can how they can put their bodies here without having to travel the space. You know, it's like they're sending satellites. All these spaceships, all these saucers are more like satellites that like attach onto people.
Do they want to completely take us over, or they just want to like live within us?
They want to live within us. They don't have the means to take us over. The only idea, it would be a lot more problematic. It's like they're intelligent, but they're hostilely intelligent, but it's just nothing like that. Nothing. They have their own set of rules in government, and they even understand that this is something we want to like generally. And so thus they try to keep this information from us. But that's what they're doing here. They're trying to live inside people's bodies. And they've even thought their ideas on how, some of them have even thought about how they want to send even like something similar to a nuclear weapon just to blow it up and make themselves public. Some of them have tried to even think about what if they send a disease, like a biological weapon, to kill a lot of people. And they just would feel bad about it. So then they just started sending. So they thought that the idea of just having ships out here and attaching to people and kind of leaving it up, kind of giving this ability to the people in their world that have, I guess, better authority, more authority, or happen to have a higher influence on their people, like the ability to go inside a human body while they're just synchronized. It's like a whole synchronized program. Like it's just this giant human attachment thing that they got going on. And it's disturbing because they said that they would even try to market like private lives this way. Like,
wow.
It's just, you know, like I said, man, they were telling me how they were getting inside kids, and they were telling me how they were listening to the music kids were listening to in our culture, our pop culture. They said that was the best way to know what was going on, that they liked it, and that they liked that they were watching like TikTok videos or stuff that kids were watching, you know, like porn or something, and they liked it a lot, and that they wanted to feel like, and they even told me some of the stuff that they felt, and like when people would like kiss, and when people would touch, and when people would hold themselves together, and they felt that, and they felt like they wanted to belong to that, and it was disturbing, like. And they were forcing this. So it was, it's like a secret, way of just touching. Like, I don't know the word for it. I can't really say the word for it. It's just, like when a person tries to, caress you in the wrong way and you can get in trouble for that. Like, that's what they're doing. And they're locked into different, like they created different worlds with technology, like inside their heads, like almost like a virtual reality. But and then they claim that it's their lives. Like you could find a celebrity, and then they say that all they need is a picture and the figure of how they look, and then they have these programs running as if, oh yeah, in their virtual reality world they had sex with this person, and they and that they even had families inside these virtual reality worlds where they had kids, and they think that they're having human bodies. And and thus they try to capture all our technological advancements, like our infrastructure, our, you know, the way society builds itself, some of the beauty that we have, and then they try to put it in this computer and try to live it themselves. And they said it's not enough, that they want the real thing. And so they get crazy and to the point where their mouths drool about the idea of living inside a human body and claiming it as their own. They would tell me awful things about my family just to keep me silent about it. Like they were telling me, yeah, like we're going to harass your family. We're going to have sex with your girlfriend. We're going to do this. And I'm just like, shut up. You guys are disturbing. And so I would tell my girlfriend, you know, just remember to lock the doors. And I told her I'm going to make everything possible to make this public. Like everybody knows about this, you know. And I was a real Christian at first. But when they first started communicating with me after that apartment accident, when one of those things was in my room, they came to me as if they were enlightened. They said that they knew the God of Jesus. Like they knew our Lord and Savior, and that he was trying to communicate with me and tell me that I was selected like Solomon or David. And I was intrigued. I was like, wow, yeah, I'm familiar with these things and like these rulers and stuff. And they wanted me to do something. I'm Hispanic, and they said that they wanted me to move Hispanics, like make some sort of movement to help the Hispanic culture in our society. I said, yeah. I mean, this is amazing. Like we've always wanted to talk to you. Then after a year, they became a lot more hostile. That's when they started saying, we're going to use you for sex. Just like that. We're going to use you to, because we want to eat what you eat. And every time I would find something to eat, you know, they'd go like, you know, they just do some very vulgar shit. And I was just like, please get out of my head. And they say, sorry, George, you know too much. And they'd laugh and say, we like what you got and we want it. And I'm like, you guys got to go. And they wouldn't leave. And so, you know, thus is why I tried this push on how to make my agenda, one of my clear agendas is how to make this more publicly aware, as I was saying, you know? Yeah, really hostile. And so if you hear stuff about these things being out on different states or even countries around the world, chances are these things are attaching the innocent lives right there, and sometimes they don't even know about it. And sometimes they said that they would play around with the idea of having people go depressed and kill themselves just to see if they would do it.
So do you think that you mistakenly saw one of these things and they're like, well, now we're going to have to take them, you know, like, or do you think that they, did they tell you like you were already selected basically, like you were going to be the target?
All they told me was that guy was an assassin. Apparently he said he was sent out to figure out some way on how to like get rid of me. And I said, why? And they said, because you saw too much, you know that we exist. The thing about them is they prefer for us not to know that they even exist. But a part of them also wants people to know that they do. But everybody thinks the idea of synchronizing themselves to the human mind, the human brain, thus the human body, is the greatest idea ever in their culture, in their species. So these great, you know, thus they created entities of different kinds to maneuver and do these things. You know, they created the grays and some hybrids, some things that look monstrous just to see what would happen. They just want to see what would happen. It's like adding, you know, water. You know that if you put gas in a fire, it makes the fire go further, but they're just going to do it anyway. That's just the way they think. And they almost act like they're mentally disabled in a way, because like it's like they have no moral code, no moral standards, like where they say you can't do this. You know, they live in a society where they don't have, where morals just don't, they seem to be there, but they don't really seem as progressive to their society. They're more interested in how to do the stuff that they want rather than doing things without harming anyone. And they put a lot of pressure on me. I've invested a lot of money. Like I've had to buy, you know, I've had to research on how to eliminate a satellite, you know, like satellite, like what were good materials to use or good things to use, on how to block satellite signals from your home and stuff like that. And I kind of just did this personal experiment where I would spend hundreds of dollars on copper and aluminum foil, and I would take that out in the caverns and experiment, and they would get mad. Like they would get infuriated. They would say, we can't let you get away. We can't let you leave our site. We don't want you. We can't, because we love you. And we also believe you know too much, and we can't let you out. And I was like, please leave me alone. Like, please leave me alone. Like, I don't want to be a part of you guys. And they were forcing me and telling me how they were following me with their satellites in our atmosphere. Like, apparently they have stuff like that. And so apologies, I had a call. And so I just tried figuring out methods on how to lose the signals that they had on me. And, you know, and I just figured out, I told them, you know what, I'm just going to make this public. Like, you know what, I kept this kind of private, but now I just got to figure out ways on how to allow people to know about my progress and teach people on how to, like, some of the things I use and some of the information I know and some of the stuff that they showed me. Like they didn't really give me any wonderful insight, but they can program people to even interact in their brains to a degree where they're more intelligent or more depressed. Like they can almost program, like they can easily program people by sending these signals out into the human brain using their satellites. And so they can, yeah, I mean, yeah, they can program people and they can synchronize they can synchronize the human brain for their personal agendas on how to do all these things. And thus is why they were going inside people's homes, is to see if they could genetically mutate their genetics with ours. But it just doesn't work. Like, it's the same as, you know, you trying to put a human sperm into a chicken egg. You know, it's just the effect comes out, you know, destabilizing. Like, it just doesn't work. You know, you can't mix certain things together in nature. And so they were enraged. They tried figuring out different ways on how they can manifest into our world. And so right now, the best method that they can do is just do what I was stating, how they were just trying to put their brain connected with our brain and see and experiment further on if they can control our nervous system that way. And it's just bad. Like, they're forcing this stuff on them, and that's just what they're progressively trying to do right now.
So now, you had said that you would talk to your girlfriend and your family about it. What do they think about it? Like, do they believe you? Well, like, what are they?
At first, they didn't know what to react about it, because obviously this isn't for the lighthearted. This isn't for everyone. You know, my mom's a diehard Christian. You know, so is my girlfriend. My sisters are just kind of open, but they've seen this stuff. Once my sisters and my mom seen this stuff also growing up, they were like, yeah, but just be really careful. Just be really careful, because, you know, we know that they just kind of know that these things showing up in our lives have never been really for the, you know, it just doesn't seem normal. You know, like, they were in my house, like, as kids, like, you know, my sisters would see them and I'd see them, and they were just staring at us. Or, like, it was almost like they said what these entities told me was that they selected me, or that they were looking, they saw my family. And see, we grew up raising peafowl and different pheasants and different, you know, quills and different fowl like that, like bird fowl. And I guess as simple as that, and, you know, in an open area, they kind of caught interest in that. And when they saw us, it was just that it just created this domino effect on how can we get closer to this family. And then once they saw me and I kind of caught a picture of them and kind of put them at a glimpse, I guess also for the reasoning that they wanted me to be enclosed, like they wanted to kind of not control, like they can't necessarily control one, but kind of keep an eye on them. And so once they saw that I was alone in my apartment and I left the door open, I guess they felt like the need, like it was part of their need to actually get more involved. And I remember being, like I said, that night when I was asleep in my apartment, I felt something when they were there, like when this gray entity was there, I don't know if there was a second one there, but I felt like something was moving, like something was moving inside my, while I was in bed, like my anal cavity, like my butthole, and in my left ear. And I told my girlfriend and my family about it, and they were like, yeah. And ever since then, that's when all this constant communication started going on with them. And I don't know what they did. So that's why I got x-rays. There didn't seem to be anything crazy, but I kind of want to get an MRI, because MRI seems to scan if there's any, even if it's a small increment of metal. But right. Yeah, man, they're doing this to people, and that's what they want to do. And so I always try to push the edge. I try to go ahead with this and try to stay a step ahead of the situation. But I have right now, out of the written discussions that I have with these entities, I have about 8 books and about 500 notes. Some of it is drawings of what they did to me. And I really want to get a publisher to publish this stuff. And I've talked to guys from different stations like Roderick Martin, and he wants me to send him my information, you know, as far as the notes I have and the collective information that I have from what they did to me. And, you know, it's just small steps. You know, it's like, how can I make the public more aware about the reality of this? You know?
Yeah. When I heard you on Clubhouse, now, when I first talked to you, it was, I don't even think I actually heard your story. It was just me, you and another guy in there, and he just completely, before you even got into telling your story, he just totally went off on you saying, ah, this and that. You know, that's why I was like, nah, I got to have you on the show so you could kind of tell your story, man, because, you know, it sounded like you're very sincere about it and that you're, you know, look, the way I see it is this, right? I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to say, oh, this guy's full of crap. This guy's, you know, it's, look, there's so many things out there that we have no idea about, you know, like there's so many unexplained things. So, you know, for example, like I said, the guy that I talked to, Steve Neal, he's had good experiences, you know, as good as you could get, I guess, with these entities, you know. So your side is a completely different side that I've never heard. So, you know, I'm happy that you came on and, you know, was able to tell your story. But yeah, man, that's some terrifying stuff, man. You got me looking around like what was that noise?
I'm sorry about over that. Here. Yeah, it's just, you know, I got to do what I got to do. You know, I was a little shy about this, but I told myself, you know, if this is getting out of hand, like, I just think that the public, you know, it'd be naive of me not to make this publicly acknowledged, you know, because I'm a person that, you know, I used to be for Hispanic rights. Like, you know, I spoke in not necessarily publicly, but I made my fair share of like being out in the public about stuff like this. Like, as far as having a mouth to speak about, you know, like being able to speak my voice. And so when, you know, I had to stop all that, I had to push that all out of the way just to say, you know what, new agenda. I got to make people understand that these things are hostile and that they're manipulating other people to think that they're nice or safe or that they know what they're doing, but they have absolutely no sense of hospitality towards us. And they showed me that they don't even like the way they communicate is even hostile. Like they laugh at each other. And they told me how their population counts like under like around 600 million. Like it was like 100 million gray, 100,000, I mean, 600,000, 100,000, about 100,000 grays and 500 of the origin of species that was like of some sort of amphibious reptilian, you know, the big head, big oval eyes characters, you know, that we see. Like that was the origin of their species, and the grays were created as a hybrid race. Like a cybernetic hybrid race. And they only have about, so in total, it only comes up to about 600,000 their planet. Like their planet doesn't have a lot of vegetation, but they say that they're vegetarian. And the ones that do. And for taste and stuff, they use our resources and they use our brains to like capture everything that we have and kind of just, in a sense, not necessarily trade it, but just kind of have other people in their species or other entities in their species involved in how they can have that focus onto reaching other planets and stuff. But so far, the reach has only come to our planet. Like they didn't tell me anything about who else or what else is out there. All I know is that they're the guys that have all this crap, all these ships, all these sauces, all these different things. It's the same species, you know? It's all the same group of people doing this, or the same group of entities doing this.
So we're basically like pawns to them. Like we're basically like they're just basically trying to use us for like their own,
yep,
entertainment or you know, yeah, pretty much for their own entertainment, basically.
Yeah, man,
that's nuts, man.
Yeah. That's- Like you, they say if you want to get, they would tell each other if you want to have sex with a person here on Earth, you know, a ship could do it for you. You just can't control their bodies, but you can be inside the entertainment, you know. And this was personal, you know, lives. These were getting even the idea stretched as far as like living inside a dictator or a president or a government leader. And thus, this is why it's been really, really scary, man. Cause like, you know, that's why I kind of pushed the idea that we can't have this stuff in our airspace.
But they can't technically influence us. I mean, they could, I guess, influence us if they wanted to like try and speak to us within our minds, but they can't actually influence us to do anything, basically.
Well, it depends on the mindset of the person, I think. Like, you know, they could program a kid to eat cereal. It's as simple as that.
Right.
You know,
right.
They told me that they love, one of their favorite things to eat here is cereal. When people eat it, is cereal and pizza.
Mm.
They say they love that stuff. And I'm just like, well, I mean, I'm glad you do, but we, you know, first things first, they're trying to live inside our bodies, man. And I just kind of told myself absolutely not. Like, that puts a lot of people at risk and a lot of people in pressure. Like, this is something that just shouldn't be out here. And this, you know, one of the threats that they would say was like, we're going to molest and vilely degrade your children when you have children. I don't have any children now, but they kind of try to push this idea in my head. And then they were like, yeah, just kill yourself. And I'm just like, absolutely not. Like, and you know, on the contrary, I'm going to make this public.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going to try to live my normal life. But yeah, what you guys are doing here is absolutely barbaric.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep it more publicly aware. Like, you know, I'm on the works of how, you know, as far as resources on who and what I can do. And, you know, I just think that the next generation and this generation should know what the reality is about this space environment we're living in. And what our closest neighbors are really doing. Like, these guys are our closest neighbors. So it's like, what are their true intentions? What are the intentions of these things? And my beliefs are that, you know, it's how to not necessarily have people just, because I'm pretty sure people are just to this idea, but, you know, I like any other person, I'd want the best for, you know, I believe that, you know, I'd want the best for the next person, you know, beside me. So I just believe that it takes some work and people will know how to protect themselves in the future from this type of stuff, you know, but hopefully it doesn't lead to some sort of massacre in life in the future.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. If you ever put all that stuff together and, you know, make a whatever role, you know, definitely let me know. I'd definitely like to read that book, you know?
Yeah. I'll be out there. Definitely, man. But yeah, man, thanks, Joe. Keep in touch if you need anything else, man. I got tons of other stuff. So on the subject that, you know, from my research and understanding of these species.
Safe, man. I'll let you know when the show is on. All right.
All right. You enjoy. Thank you. Bye. You too. Bye.
So what do you guys think of that horrifying account of alien abduction and manipulation? It's pretty crazy, man. But, you know, George, thank you for being on the show and telling us your experience and your story. And I hope things get better for you in that sense. And, again, if you guys have any kind of paranormal experience, 845-379-1331, ghostjoeny@gmail.com. Also, check out the website at warpedrealitypodcast.com. You'll find all of the guest information as well as all of the shows, and leave me a review while you're there as well. So, all right, everybody, have a good one. See you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can leave me a voicemail at 845-379-1331 or email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You could do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have an awesome night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.